If you've been riding the solo train as a single parent, kudos, but aren't you fucking tired? And I think for me, one of the stopping points of allowing people to help me was I feared if my ex-husband found out I got help, he would use it against me. I'm going to tell you right now, if your bestie is in the car with you and you're listening to this episode, this might not go well. I don't know, but I'm just telling you, this is about you trying to build your circle of good people around you and making sure that you have the right team of friends supporting you through this divorce and co-parenting journey. So this is one you might want to listen to solo and really do a checklist of like, is this person a good fit for me as I go through this journey? And you're going to have to just open your eyes to the idea that you are not going to be able to keep everybody you were with before. You're going to have to find support as you are now the single parent, but it's got to be the right kind of support. You're dealing with high conflict and you're trying to survive it. And so self-care is going to be really important through this battle. So really navigating a friend circle like edit is what this episode is going to be about today. Well, let's dive into the friend circle and why we don't want to do this divorce or co-parenting journey alone. But I'm going to preface this with saying you need to be smart about who is in your friend circle. And I think this episode is really going to maybe get you to realize who you have around you might not be the best. Now, I heard something a long time ago from my mom. Ironically, she told me when I was going through my divorce / co-parenting journey, she was like, if you are the best person in the five people you're hanging around with, you're in the wrong group. And as I was too stubborn at that point in time to look at my peer group then, I now know what she was talking about. I was one that had her shit together in the pathetic circle I was in. And by me having my shit together was a stretch of the imagination a little bit. And so that could tell you exactly what the group of people I was hanging with that did not have their shit together whatsoever. But I looked pretty good in comparison to them. And that was uncomfortable now that I look back on it, because I was not thriving or trying or excelling through life. I was just really had my head above like drowning. And that was it, based on who I had around me. And so I really want to touch on, who do you have around you as you're going through this process? Now, I did an extreme thing. Then I isolated. I took people away. And then I tried to really manage my divorce on my own. And I will just say, like, 10 out of 10, don't recommend, because that was very dangerous. I was not a good candidate to be alone. I needed to verbally process a lot and talk about what's happening to me, because there were some shady things happening to me. So to be alone, I don't recommend. And I see this a lot in my comment section where people are saying, Sam, I have no one. I have no friends. I have no family. And at that point in time, I want you to really look at what you're doing in your day-to-day and why do you have nobody. I'm not saying you have to go be close with your family again if they're the toxic creators. But what I am saying is you can build friendships. You know, I'm starting to build friendships right now at 47 in my Pilates class. Yeah, I'm doing Pilates and I'm actually loving the people that are doing Pilates, because we have a lot in common, because we're thinking the same of like wellness, right? Take care of our bodies. We're busy moms and such. And so building friendships at church, building friendships maybe at your job if it's allowed or you think it's okay to do, building relationships and friendships in your neighborhoods, really putting yourself out there. And I know right now some of you are like, you're still resisting. You're like, no. And here's the deal. How's that working for you? Is it working, pushing everybody away and trying to act like the badass that you so badly want to be? But isn't it exhausting? Aren't you tired from doing it all by yourself? Aren't you like, damn, I wish a girl could get some assist every once in a while? And you catch yourself every once in a while, must be nice. Must be nice. I was that person. There is a way to have people around you and still be feeling like you're taking care of yourself too. They're just called friends and they're called family that you lean on as a single parent. And again, if you've been riding the solo train as a single parent, kudos, but aren't you fucking tired? And I think for me, one of the stopping points of allowing people to help me was I feared if my ex-husband found out I got help, he would use it against me. Meaning if I had somebody come over and watch the kids while I mowed the yard, he would use it against me. So then I only mowed the yard when I didn't have my kids. That's how traumatized I was by the court system, that everything I did, I got taken back to court for. And so I lived in a place of, I can't do that, because then if he finds out if I can't do that, and if he finds out if I can't. And it was just this horrible place to be. And I know a lot of you listening are in that same spot where you fear making a decision or having friends or going out or doing something fun or doing something with the kids with somebody else, and it's going to be used against you. I've lived that life. It didn't work out well for me. And when I finally switched my mindset into parallel and I switched my mindset into I am allowed to live my life without his filter, my life changed. People always ask me that question, what changed? I changed. Nothing about him changed. I changed. I changed on how I dealt with him. I changed on how I produced, how I gave, how I delivered. Everything changed about me. And it started with who I was around. And for a lot of you, you need to dig deep on this writing everything out solo and asking yourself, is this working? And I'm going to tell you the answer is probably no. But then there's the other half of you that have all these friends. And I use friends in a really loose term. But these friends that are only stirring the pot, only giving you intel to make you feel bad or keep you informed, but it's just triggering you and it's bothering you. Are they really someone safe to tell things to? Or are they running back and they're the mole in your group? Or are they sharing it with the mole? I want you to really consider, is this person or people the right kind of influence? And we've all had these people around us. I call them yes men. You're like, oh my gosh, you will never believe what my ex did. And you, and they're like, oh my gosh, he's such an asshole. Oh, I'm so glad you divorced him. And we just sit there and we talk about all this negativity and they're, yes, you deserve better. Yes, this, yes, that. And we just keep talking about it. And then I call again the next day and I call again the next day and we just keep beating it down and beating it down. And the narrative just gets getting replayed and replayed. That shit gets old. And I'm going to tell you this, I don't know what you believe in or who you believe in. When you keep putting that kind of shit out there into the universe, that's the kind of shit that will keep coming at you. You keep talking about your negativity, the negativity will keep coming. You keep bitching, bitching will keep coming. It isn't until you change your mindset about things that things change. And a lot of that can be influenced by the people that you have around you. And so I need you to be digging deep on really asking yourself, do I need to evaluate who I am getting emotional support from? Do I need to really think about, man, every time I share something, it takes about 2 days before my ex finds out. I think I got a mole. And stop sharing this shit. Instead, most of y'all keep sharing and you keep having the same problem show up in your court case. But we got to get to the point where we have good people in our circle, not shady people. And I'm sorry, but maybe this is the time that we drop a lot of our friends who also have their own drama because I kind of need people that are free to help me with mine. And every time I bring up something, they bring up something, and then we're down this negative rabbit hole for 2 hours on the phone. It might be, hey, you know what? We're not a good fit right now. Let's catch each other on the flip side when we're over both of our divorces, or you're over your shit and I'm over mine, and let's rekindle later. But right now, it's just too toxic, too heavy, too negative. I can't keep doing this. It's okay to edit some of your friends out, some of your family out. You need people that when you call them, they go, I hear you, Sam, but here's what we're going to do today. We're going to focus on getting your house clean. We're going to focus on getting those kids entertained. We're going to focus on making sure you hit a good bedtime because you need rest. Not this yes man that's going, uh-huh, yeah, yeah, he's horrible, nasty. Tell me more. What happened? Did you see what he put on Facebook? Oh my gosh. Did you see who he's friends with now on Instagram? I don't need that shit. If you got people like that in your life that are constantly talking about your ex and bringing screenshots to you, see ya. Don't need you. If I don't have the evidence, I can't keep going down that rabbit hole with friendships that are just that kind of drama, soap opera, pot stirring type of people. But you have to self-evaluate and figure out, are you that person? And how's it working out for you? Because I'm going to tell you from a personal standpoint of somebody that was like that and did that and had friends like that, you're emotionally dysregulated. There's no way you're calm. There's no way you're at peace. There's no way your body is handling this very well. Because you're constantly getting triggered and heightened. Your body doesn't even know what it feels like to be out of this chaotic state of high blood pressure and just emotional disconcertment where you're just constantly all the time of what's new. Every time a text comes through, oh my God, oh my God. And it's like a gut punch every time because of the people that you're allowing in. And so it's time for an edit. It's time to decrease who we talk to. Circle becomes smaller. Everybody notices this when they go through a divorce. You got all these fucking friends, married friends, co-working friends, all these friends. You go through a divorce, whoo, that circle shrinks way the fuck down. And that's okay. That's actually normal. It's healthy. It's good because your focus should be on you through this very big moment in your life. Your focus should be your kids. Your focus should be on your well-being and not the fucking 18 concerts you agreed to go to when you were married. It's time to downsize. It's time to set, what do we want to be working on? What is our future going to look like? I can't afford to go to 19 concerts this year now. but I can't afford to hang out with my kids at the park. I can't afford to see who really wants to come to the park with me and hang out because it's free. Instead of spending all this money going and doing all these things, your friend circle will change. And so you have to pull people in that are emotionally supportive and be strategic with who that is. Who are people that can help regulate you for court? Not somebody that's going to be like, oh girl, oh my gosh, are you ready? I don't need that kind of energy. I got you. Remember a pressure point in your hand. Remember to tap. Remember to breathe. Girl, I packed you a little go box. It has water. It has snacks. It has pictures of your kids. I got you. I'll take you. I'll pick you up. We have the whole night planned. We're going to order pizzas. We're going to watch some movies. I want that girl, not the tell me everything. What did he wear? What did he say? I don't need that shit. And some of you all really need to look at that friend and go, is she really here for me? Or is she here to hear from me? There's a difference. Is she here for me? Or is she here to hear all the gossip from me and take it back? You have to make sure you're editing. It's another breakup. I know it's hard, but I'm going to tell you what, how that friend, use that loosely, reacts to your breakup shows you what kind of friend they are. Believe me, the ones that you say you're breaking up with them because you need to focus on yourself and they get angry, they weren't your friend to begin with. If they're a friend that you say, hey, I need some space, I need some time, or I need this from you, and they go, absolutely, done. Consider it starting tomorrow. I got you. And they respect your choice. That's your true friends that are there for the right reasons, not the ones that all gossip about you 3 seconds after you send that message or hang up that phone. And if you're even questioning whether what kind of friend you have, that's not the friend you need. You need somebody that's going to be there to help you with your kids when you can't pick your head off the pillow because you're in the fetal position crying about what's happening because it's finally caught up with you. You need that friend that's going to come mow your yard. You need that friend that's going to protect your energy and say, whoa, 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 you're already having a bothered day. Let me see that message. Yep. I'm going to give you the cliff notes. I'm not going to let you read the whole thing because you don't need to read the whole thing because we're picking up your kids in like 20 minutes and I don't want you all bothered. Let me read it for you. I'll give you the cliff notes. And that friend takes that and handles that for you. A friend edit is needed right now. But I don't want you doing this alone. I need you to find your people. Now, I also run a monthly membership for moms called The Next Chapter. You've heard me talk about that. That is a great place for some of you to be to get that community. But that's not a day-to-day hand-holding person. But that is a great place to get an education, ask questions, and get validation and a bunch of strategy. But I need you to hear me. I need you to look around and I need you to find your people. To me, I think that's great when two single moms or two single dads can help each other and be each other's person. And maybe they have different schedules to where when that parent doesn't have their kids, they can help you out. And when you don't have your kids, you can help them out. And finding that friendship to possibly even live together to cut bills down. Hello, economy. Let's help each other out. Cut down on some costs. But I need you to be honest with the people you have in your life right now. Right? Are they doing you a service or are they a full-time pain in the ass and cause drama and pot stirring? You're going to have to put a boundary up with that, but you need to start assembling your Avengers of who is your people that will help you through this divorce and co-parenting journey. But you got to be smart about who they are and what type of friend they are and what type of friend are you being back, right? Do you have space and time to be a good friend back? Are they okay with you not giving into them right now while they pour into you? It's time to evaluate. Who is in your circle of people? Who can you trust? And who's going to be there through the thick of this? All right, we touched on regulating your nervous system in today's episode. And if I could give you any advice, being educated is one way to find that calm and peace of knowing what is coming, of knowing what is a parenting plan, of knowing how to find the right kind of support. So if that's something you need to work on and execute, my team and I are here ready to help you through that process because education is the key to making you feel like you have a hold of some things, but also being able to know where to go and you are in the right spot. I am here to help.